Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this spring season, and we thank you that everything is springing forward according to your highest purpose in our lives. And I thank you, Father, that you're continually preparing us for all things that you have laid out before us. And we just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to continue on with exhortations from the Father, and we'll just go where the Holy Spirit takes us. Again, these are exhortations that were given to me as I was interceding for the glorious church throughout the years. And the amazing thing is that as God gave these to me, they were wonderful, but then it was the amount of time that he took to work that into my life and continues to work that into my life. And every one of these really is geared towards those people who truly desire to walk in the fullness of their destiny in Christ. And they are a preparation for people to walk in the fullness of the Third Day Church and experience the fullness of God's blessing. And it's very important. This path is still narrow. Any Christian out there who thinks the path is getting wider is on the wrong path. But the good news is that throughout the Word, God promises us sure footing on that narrow path. So we'll just dive right into this and see where the Holy Spirit takes us. The first one, as my children walk in the fullness of ascension life. Now, again, the ascension life is the fullness of our walking in the place of the fullness of our authority in Christ. That's seated with the Father at the right hand of the Father, rather, with Christ in the heavenly places, and to abide there. And that's the place where we need to be doing our warfare from, and even the most practical things of our daily life. Because then you're truly going to see through the Father's eyes. You're truly going to be partaking of the fullness of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, we need all these things in this hour. But we will be overcomers in doing that. So, as my children walk in the fullness of ascension life, flesh and blood become almost inconsequential in the carrying out of their warfare against the evil one and his forces. And really that just goes back to what Paul said in Ephesians when he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And when we are so focused on Jesus and so empowered by the Holy Spirit, walking by revelation, warring by revelation, then whoever is in bondage in our path, they're almost inconsequential. Our eyes are not fixed on flesh and blood. They're fixed on Jesus. And then we'll see the results. But again, Satan's great scheme to hinder true intercession is for us to get our eyes on that in the natural, get them on people, get it on things and circumstances. And that is a loser's battle there. You can't win doing that. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Again, I'm going back to this little, I remember I shared about open heart surgery a while back, and this word was there, and I didn't get it the last time. But the Father was again speaking to me about open heart surgery. And basically where that applies to us is he wants to deal with any ground of fear in us so that our hearts are open to him, that he can deal with us in whatever way he has to continually. So he was speaking to me about that, and he said one can either submit themselves to this open heart surgery by the Holy Spirit or fall prey to the inevitable hardening of arteries. So, and hardening of arteries lead to a hardened heart, so to speak, and we need to be avoiding that. I mean, this is the age where the remnant is going to abide in walking, abiding Christ, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to him in every little thing. And that's not a thing we can work out ourselves. That's something as God deals with us and continually does the deepest work of the cross in us, we can come to that place of rest. We can come to that place of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit clearer than any other voice. And that's not an impossibility. It is for Christians who have their feet, both feet planted in the world. And of course, that's getting, we're going to deal with a few more later on that. It's getting to be very dangerous to be a partaker of darkness in this last hour. The prerequisite to having any ground removed, which causes one of my children to keep part back, is to have no fear of that ground being exposed. Now that's important. I mean, I shared my testimony about the open heart surgery when God began to speak to me. And for some reason, I just resisted, kept putting it off. You could really shut the Holy Spirit out if you want to. And that's part of that fear reaction as we're learning to, coming to know God and learning about his character. But when we really are coming into that place of trusting him, we can lay our heart open before him, and we need to have no fear of what he's going to expose in us, because we know now that if there's something in us that is keeping us apart from God, causing us to keep part back or hold part back from being wholly given, that's a dangerous thing. You know, by now, people who truly love God are realizing that the only thing that matters is the will of God and doing the fullness of God's will. And so we need to have no fear of losing anything or allowing God to expose anything in us, because whatever he does, whatever he says, is always for our greatest eternal benefit. Always. He's perfect. And that's the revelation that comes as we continually trust him day in and day out. Many of my children have such a great fear of even an unpleasant feeling that they are even willing to retain sinfulness in order to avoid any unpleasantries. That's a deception, you see. Because with God, again, he's always going to do what's best for us. And like I said, as I shared that testimony earlier, the sword is very swift. The surgery is very swift. And it's eternal. And yet we can wander around in fear, thinking that God's going to do us in. Well, that's just a lie of the devil. It's the devil that's continually trying to do us in. God wants to have us experience the fullness of all that he has for us. And he knows exactly what to do. So that's a deception. But again, this is, again, the importance of not being moved by what we feel. You know, and if we have this thing where, you know, when we experience unpleasant feelings, that's more important for us to avoid that than to get the sin out of our life, then we really remain in bondage in that deception. And Satan, up until this time, has had many in that place. And yet it's just a minor adjustment that they need to make in order to step into freedom. Truly I say to you, as the deepest work of the cross is done, and as its severing power cuts away any ground which still remains, the cut shall be swift and sure and eternal. Therefore have no fear, my beloved ones, only continue to cast any ground before me, that your capacity might be continually expanded and enlarged. Capacity for what? Capacity for his presence, capacity for a revelation of his will and the vision. I mean, the vision of the glorious church is a grand and glorious vision. And it is, you know, everything we do in the days ahead will be done by revelation. And so we need to have pure hearts, and we need to have our hearts and our thinking, our minds renewed and our thinking expanded in order to see all things as he sees them and truly understand our part and what he's doing. We'll see the corporate manifestation. We don't have to be concerned with that. We just need to be obedient individually, and that will explode into this earth. If the eyes of my people are not fixed solely on my word in this last hour, Satan shall be enabled or empowered to lead them into an area where their love of money shall be greater than their love of me. Now, if you want to strip it right down, the Bible says that the root of all evil, or the love of money is the root of all evil. So that means it's the root of every scheme and so on. Now, sometimes it doesn't look like money, but just remember the power that money has in the world. It has the money to provide security. It has the power to provide security. It has the power to empower a life that's wholly given to self. So what it's come down to is a heart that's wholly given to God, to love God with all their heart, or still the love of mammon. And from that place, that heart position, then Satan can work his evil schemes to keep people away from God and independent, self-sufficient, and so on and so forth. Of course, that's disastrous for a Christian in this final hour, and will be found to be that. So we need to be a people whose heart is wholly given to God, and then everything will be a spontaneous manifestation of that love for him, and that includes finances, that includes everything. But, of course, the love of money and the love of the world go hand in hand. I like this expression. I was out praying one day, and God started to speak to me. He said, in the kingdom, he said, we have the done tense. I like that. You know, you want to conjugate a verb, and that's, of course, calling things that be not as though they already were. Counting it done as soon as we have that revelation. So I like that. I was very familiar with different tenses in the different languages that I studied, and the done tense really spoke to me. So we need to operate in the done tense, you know, not what's going to happen or what's been in the past, but count those things done already that are revealed to us. God will unfold that in his perfect timing. The force of faith does not in any way inhabit the complaints of my people. Yeah. Complaining is not a good thing. All complaining is a direct criticism of God. That's the spiritual reality behind complaining. We saw how the children of Israel, as they were going around, began to complain in the desert. I mean, God had just brought them out of Egypt, supernaturally delivered them, supernaturally provided for them, and was supernaturally leading them into the fullness of their destiny as the nation of Israel to the promised land. And we saw where the complaints got the people. They didn't make it. They didn't make it. And neither will those in this last hour who hold to any element of complaining. It really is one of the highest forms of unbelief you can have. Because when you complain as a Christian, you are directly criticizing God and you are exercising an absolute unbelief in His Word. Not a place to be. And of course, that makes it impossible to be a vessel of the force of faith or to exercise faith. All criticism has its root in and is motivated by a fear of being criticized. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but a lot of Satan's schemes concerning the family, particularly in the last century and probably on before that, parents grew up and they were as their kids grew up, parents were very critical of their children. And this instilled all the negative forces, fear. And so children grew up and they were afraid of rejection, afraid of being criticized, and it really crippled them. And one of the first things that God will deal with in His children will be to get free from that. And believe me, as Jesus walked, we are going to walk, and we need to be free from that because there will be some criticism. I mean, it's rooted in a self-exaltive spirit. It's rooted in people who want to protect their own environment, their own heart environment. And so they can get pretty radical in their persecution. But criticism should bounce off us just like nothing. Like it was nothing. It's true. And that's what the shield of faith is for. Faith works by love. When we walk in revelation and we walk in with the love of God abiding in our heart, then these things become, they're not pleasant, obviously, but the thing is we can withstand that and still be in a position to love our enemies and to pray for those who are used as vessels of persecution against us. It's very important. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. And, you know, God is raising up a remnant who are filled with His love and will do great and mighty things. Always remember that the wages of righteousness are superabundant life. And really, that's every element of His character, superabundant light, superabundant provision, superabundant everything. That is God. God cannot touch anything without an overflow happening. It's just the way it is. And of course, from that we can see, there was a lot of mention at conference about rivers and the overflow in rivers. We're going to see that overflow of God's life through the glorious church. You know, I really don't have any problem at all seeing, although I couldn't possibly comprehend all that God's going to do, I don't have any problem seeing the world being turned upside down. The test has been to continue on in intercession and continue on believing that God's people will enter the fullness of their calling and come into the place where God can pour Himself through them. That's been the trial. But that day is going to turn. I remember a vision God gave me years ago. And because, you know, when you start out, it's like you pretend you're in a canoe and you're paddling up a river that's got a current and against the current. And that's hard. I mean, you're always having to watch out. And, like, first of all, the effort to move at all. But, you know, there's different things trying to push you off this side and that side. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit said to me that suddenly that would turn around. And really the reason why that current was so strong against those walking in faith was because so many people were still in fellowship with the world. So it's just like everything we did, there was resistance coming from somewhere, whether it was people across our path or whether the prayers of the people who thought they were right and probably trying to help us. But it just was that, almost that effort. And of course, the one positive thing from that I think of right away is because that happened, we had to come in to hook into supernatural strength and divine empowerment, because if you keep doing that, you're going to get tired and you're just going to stop. And what happens when you stop? You start flowing with the current backwards. So in this last hour, the Holy Spirit said that there will come a time when people begin to cry out to God and they begin to put aside all their foolishness and religious activity. And this current then will turn around and then the church will go nonstop supernaturally to the catching way of the church. But unfortunately, up until this time, there are some who have given up, and they have allowed themselves to be carried by the current of darkness and the current of the world. And we need to pray for them. And I mean, you know, this paradox still remains front and center. I mean, we know it's the final hour. We know it's late, very, very late. But we also know it's very, very early as far as the third day church goes. So that paradox exists, and so there's still time for people to come into the fullness of what God has called them. We must never give up on anybody at any time for any reason, because God has never given up on us. And it's only by his grace we're where we are. So, you know, we can keep that in mind. It's very, very important. I won't go into that now, but I can't help think of Korah's rebellion, and we know that we're going to see that pattern played out, and we're going to need to understand that our job is to be filled with the revelation of God, and then we'll be able to resist. God will take care of those who rebel against his will in this last hour. It's a tragic thing. True love keeps no record of wrongs. Well, what that makes me think of, first of all, is that we can have no unforgiveness in our life. I mean, that's the one thing. When if that tries to enter in through whatever situation, we need to face up to it and just absolutely forgive and walk on. And, you know, every time a Christian does that, they really are blessed of God, because they come into a position where they become stronger in the Spirit. And the love of God is shed abroad in that ground that would have held to that unforgiveness, that now can be handed over, and that void can be filled with the love of God. And it's an ongoing thing. But when we do those, and we're faithful to do that, rather, we will experience the love of God to a greater degree. And that's a wonderful thing. And even if there are some bad feelings for a time, they will be overridden by the love of God in our heart. Boy, I'll tell you, you cannot lose obeying God. You cannot lose exercising faith and standing above the feelings that might come from any type of resistance you experience. You will always come out ahead. Sometimes there's a period of time where you just have to grit your teeth and continue to do whatever it takes to stay in that mode. But eventually, you'll get up into that clear blue sky, and you'll be able to see and understand God's purpose in that, and also be in a position again to help them. The cross is the one thing needful for everything. Isn't it an amazing thing that all the different activity that we've seen in the church, and I'm not here to judge the activity in the church. I pray God for thank God for every righteous thing that has happened, you know, through the last 2,000 years. But the fact is that many are attempting to enter into the fullness of God's plan for the church. And they've tried to grab hold of resurrection life. They've tried to grab hold of the ascension life or the life of authority in Christ. You can't do it. If you bypass that, you're going to crash. You know, you can have the nicest plane on the planet, but if you don't fill that tank with gas, if you don't follow the right order, you're crashing somewhere along the line. And the fact is, the cross is the one thing needful for everything. And as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, then the spirit of the cross rises up within us continually. And we see things. We see his ministry. And don't forget, his ministry is the perfect prototype of the third day church. And we see and we understand things. And it keeps our eyes off of ourselves. If your eyes are fixed on Jesus, they can't be on yourself. You're talking about fixing your eyes on something. You're not taking them off. And that's important. You know, you kind of fix your eyes on the road, more or less, when you're driving. There are certain places where you better fix your eyes on the road, or you're going in the ditch. How much more, then, is it important in spiritual things? There are so many things, but there is only one thing needful: intimate and abiding fellowship with God. And there's a definite connection between the last word that I just gave about the cross is the one thing needful for everything, because it takes self-denial to enter into proper fellowship with God. Why? Because if we maintain self-effort, and if we refuse to deny ourselves where the will of God is concerned, then we'll just take the reins of our life and move out into that, all the while maybe thinking that we're in the will of God. But you see, when people truly humble themselves before God, then that becomes a strong revelation within them to enter into the place of fellowship. And really everything begins and ends there. So that's very important. The main reason why Satan fights so desperately to keep my children apart from the intimate fellowship that I desire to have with each of them is because over the ages, the church age, he has seen the work that has been effected in them, a work which equips men and women and even children to destroy his works. So, you know, the devil, he keeps the children of God in any way, if they allow him to, away from that place, then they don't have the empowerment to do him harm. But when you fellowship with God and you enter into that place of intimate fellowship, there is a spiritual transaction that takes place, and a perfect empowerment for that day will be there. And we're going to see the real importance of that in the days ahead, because we're going to see some real power. And we're going to see it channeled perfectly through the pure vessels. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit be poured out. Prayerlessness is what allows the seeds of rebellion in. And prayerfulness will be what removes them. Did I say prayerlessness? Anyway, I'll do that again. Prayerlessness is what allows the seeds of rebellion in, and prayerfulness will be what removes them. Again, that intimate fellowship. Again, Paul talked about praying without ceasing. And again, what that means to us is communicating with God at all times. Now, sometimes we're not conscious of it, but we are communicating with him. We're ready to acknowledge, we're acknowledging him in all our ways. He's directing our paths. This is the life of the kingdom that I'm talking about here. And, you know, many people have tried to do it with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, but it won't work that way. It won't work that way at all. As a matter of fact, I'm going to deal with that shortly. The manifestation of an absolute love and an absolute faith is dependent upon an absolute denial of self. Simple enough. Whatever you apply yourself to absolutely is going to manifest in your life. One's ability to walk in love is directly proportional to their time spent in the presence of the Father and his Word. It's a very frustrating thing to try and walk in love in a situation where you know you're called to walk in love, but it's very, very difficult. And so if I'm having a problem with that, then I need to get more into the presence of God and allow him to expose any ground in there, and that's important. Now this goes back to what I just said about the darkness and the danger of darkness. Unless one is considerably edified, they will be drawn into the vortex of darkness. And there is a vortex out there in the world. I'm not a scientist, but I'll define this. A mass of whirling gas, this is vortex, or liquid, especially when sucked spirally toward a central axis. A whirlwind or whirlpool. Any action or state of affairs that is similar to a vortex in violence or force, etc. So what we're saying here is that there is a strong drawing action in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is running rampant. We know that. And we know that the true remnant, the church, is rising up above this mess. But I'll tell you, if we don't guard our heart with all diligence and we don't obey God, then there's a pull downward into the world. And it's a very dangerous place. Because the darkness that's in the earth in this hour has people convinced, from the religious standpoint, that they are in the will of God, while they're not in the will of God. And I've said this many times before, it's still the most dangerous place I can see for a Christian to think they're in the will of God when they're not. Because who are they going to listen to? It is only as one keeps their spirit man edified and guarded, and thus in predominance over the soul and body, that one will experience the secret place of the Most High. Again, each individual believer is different. I mean, whatever God requires of us, we need to be doing that. And as we're obedient to God, then we come into that place where our spirit man is truly in dominance over our soul and body. And so those continued impulses of the Holy Spirit are coming through our spirit into our mind, into our will, into our emotions, strengthening us and affecting our body. I really believe firmly that this is the position that Romans 8:11 talks about, that the Holy Spirit will quicken your mortal body. And I firmly believe that between now and the time we're caught up out of here and get our glorified bodies, we are going to see some tremendous manifestations of not only healing, but people abiding in divine health and having a supernatural endurance that this world has not seen, other than perhaps Jesus. So that's very important, to have our spirit man in dominance over our soul and body. And the first thing you do is you put the Word first place in your life. and you bring every thought captive to the revelation of it. Here's another word. Fear presumption and despise passivity. It just seems that there's your left or right of the road right there. Obviously, presumption is a dangerous thing because all presumption is rooted in rebellion. That's where people make a decision to depart from the will of God, maybe not realizing it, because they want to do something. They want to get something. It's inspired by self-desire, which again is rooted in rebellion. And passivity is rooted in fear. And so a lot of passivity or that type of non-activity in the life of the child of God is due to ignorance through fear. Well, again, going back to what I said earlier, if we will put ourselves in a position to allow God to expose any ground of fear continually, then he will deal with that. And he's very patient, very kind, very good in that way. But of course, if one maintains fear willfully long enough, they will ultimately enter into presumption because they're going to have to forge their own way, and then they'll be found in presumption. But we need to walk in holiness. We need to walk in obedience and bypass those things. And you know, these things I'm talking about, this isn't something, again, we have to come up with ourselves. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. I mean, it's just a mess to try and do it yourself. I don't care how good your intentions are. They don't mean any. Good intentions don't have any relevance in the kingdom. What has relevance is faith and obedience and love. That's what has relevance. And revelation and the anointing that abides within us. Again, and this has been a problem. The accusations which pour forth from the lips of many of my children are the true indication of what abides in their own heart. That's another thing a Christian shouldn't be doing. They shouldn't be accusing anybody. It doesn't make any difference whether, for instance, say you happen to know that somebody did something wrong, whether to you or to somebody else. If people operate apart from the love of God or the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of love, they're accusing. It doesn't matter whether it's right or not. It's a wrong spirit behind the accusation. God doesn't accuse us. You know, so it's very important. All accusations spoken through the child of God have their root and source in the unbelief of the one used to speak the accusations. Now, a lot of accusations can come forth when people who are operating apart from the Spirit of God try to justify themselves. In other words, when they're not walking in the revelation of God, or having a revelation of God's will, and thus not walking in His will, they need to accuse others, and in that way justify themselves in their own thinking. They certainly don't justify themselves before God or people, in order to continue on in their own path. They justify it. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. When you see somebody justifying their actions, they don't have a revelation of the will of God. Because if you've got a revelation of the will of God, you don't have to justify yourself. You don't. If somebody came up to you and said, well, I don't believe you're born again, you're not going to go off the deep end trying to justify the fact you're born again. You just don't pay attention to it. But that comes from a deep revelation of God's will in our life. Now, I'm just being blatant there. That's an obvious one. But the point is, it can get very fine line. People could tell you you're not in God's will. Because what they're doing, if you're in God's will, then what they're doing isn't in God's will. So they have to do that. We're going to see that a lot in this last hour. It's why we need to be filled with the love of God. Always remember this, that my people would not be condemning and accusing each other if their hearts were right before me. See, when people, there are certain things people do, immediately you know they're not walking in love. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is, the spirit behind it is wrong. And again, we need to be ready in this last hour because we're going to, let's just look at Korah. What did Korah accuse Moses of? Moses gets a revelation of the holiness of God that God requires and desires. And he comes down, and they started to accuse him of him exalting himself above them. And you're going to see that in this last hour. We must be ready. But the way you overcome that is to walk in a spirit of humility, walk in a place of revelation. Moses had the revelation, and he knew he'd been wrong, but he humbled himself before God and prayed for them. Then God came on the scene. We don't need to vindicate ourselves. God will vindicate us. And in this final hour, because we know it's going to be a relatively quick work, I mean, 2,000 years of the church age, it's going to be a relatively quick work no matter how many years are left. So the fact is, we need to be walking in love and be filled with His love and be ready at all times. It's not always going to be negative. You know, it's
positive things that are going to happen. Nonetheless, we need to be in that place of humility before God to receive those things too. The line between correction and accusation is very fine, yet the poles are worlds apart. Yeah, one is light, one is darkness, one is love, and one is hatred. Yeah, the poles are the opposite end of the spectrum. And even when God calls us to speak a word into somebody's life, it's going to be after much time with him. It's going to be, it may not take that long, but until we come into that heart agreement with the Father, and then he'll send us forth. And we have nothing of ourselves in that. Sometimes he has us be silent, sometimes he has us speak. But it will be in perfect love. This is the word he gave me. This is a long time ago now. And he said this to me. He said, "Are you willing to be right at all times?" Well, when I first got that word, I thought, yeah, I am willing to be right. Of course, before I started serving the Lord, I thought I was right at all times. There's quite a difference there. But then, you know, I began to see an interesting thing. As I went forth and acted upon the revelation that God would give me, the different things, the different reactions that would come forth, and that, then I began to understand what he meant. It's not always, in those early years, I mean, in some cases, in some situations in the church, it was just easier to agree with somebody, even if you knew they were wrong or had an inkling, just, you know, to kind of make peace, that false peace. Well, that, of course, is a dangerous thing. And so God had to do a deep work and is still doing it in me. But we should be willing to be right or righteously motivated at all times, regardless of what happens. It doesn't make any difference if everybody walks out of your life. It doesn't make any difference what happens. We need to be willing to do that. And God, if we're willing, then God will cause us to overcome in that. You don't ever want to be caught getting into agreement with people just to get yourself off the hook or take the pressure off yourself. It's not a good thing at all. But then again, that's something that those people who truly love God and want his will for themselves and for all those across their path, that's something that they will be aware of and will not violate knowingly. And if we do, we'll know quickly and we can repent. Any fear of what flesh and blood thinks will always manifest itself in an action which is contrary to my will. Oh, the danger of the fear of man. I mean, if you have the fear of the Lord, you're going to walk in obedience no matter what comes across your path. But if you maintain a fear of man, you will be influenced and you will step apart from the will of God for a time if that thing is allowed to manifest. And of course, that action will always be the flesh, which is what? At enmity with the will of God. These are absolute principles. See, that you know, the reason why I really rejoice in what God is doing is because you could see how the devil is going to absolutely be, I don't know what the word is, it's going to be harmed in a big way. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, the lies and the deception that he's been working on for over 2,000 years and trying to perpetuate for all these years are going to be exposed and burn like they weren't even there. Now, people can run from God and go into hiding for that, but I'll tell you one thing. A lot of people are going to get free, and all these gray areas that have been allowed to remain in the church are going to be gone, and people are going to have to make a decision one way or the other. All true affection in one's life has its root in their fellowship and communion with God. Again, this talks about divine affection. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be a vessel of God's affection. Jesus had that work in his life. And there were times when the divine affection poured through him to his disciples. There were other times when he had to rebuke them. But nonetheless, that's something that, again, works in the order when it works properly, when our spirit man is in dominance over our soul and body, and we're not seeking that negative affection for reassurance or whatever, that emotional type of thing. But there is a true and a divine affection, and certainly we experience that with others who truly love God. That is something that's very, very special. God does not give out his wisdom freely to those who have not first made the quality decision, that's in their heart, to hear that which he has to say and then act upon it accordingly. I'll tell you one thing I've seen with God over the years. He is an economical God. I mean, he will wait till the perfect time to reveal something to somebody because he knows if he revealed it back then, they weren't going to pay any attention. That one, myself, would be included in that. And we need to have that heart decision where we are, make the heart decision where we're seeking the wisdom of God at any given moment. And whether he speaks to us or not, we've made that decision. And like I've said before, we'll have that assurance in our heart that we know what we need to know in any given moment. We're not out trying to get something from God. That's not the way he operates. And so he's economical. He will reveal what we need to know when we need to know it. Our job is just to maintain a pure heart. This is a time of great victory, my beloved ones, for all those who have chosen the narrow path of perfect obedience. And in victory, you might as well say liberty, too. That's victory. You enter into that perfect liberty. You've had victory. Hold fast in your perseverance and know that I shall, to an ever-increasing degree, show myself strongly on your behalf and on the behalf of those with you. It's excellent. You know, we know that God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly before him. And there is a tremendous inheritance and reward for those who have persevered over these many years now. Again, seemingly rowing against that current for such a long time. And I've seen people over the years fall away from the will of God. It's a tragic thing. It's never something we can take lightly or accept. And again, as I said earlier, it's not over yet. It's still early in the days of the third day, and we're going to see some people coming in that maybe look like they were long gone. But, you know, we're not supposed to be looking with our eyes anyway to see what people are doing or not doing. Our job is to be filled with the love of God, pray the prayers that God places on our heart, and believe what he said on their behalf or just, you know, for the entire church, and we'll see the fruit. Satan tries to make it appear like things aren't happening or prayers won't be answered. But I'll tell you, the faith in the power of God, the Word of God, faith in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you will see results. And believe me, God really is gathering the wheat and the tares. He is doing everything perfectly. And when God comes on the scene, it's going to be a perfect unfolding. What would you have me do now, Father? The abiding question for all those who truly love God. You know, it doesn't matter what happens in any given situation. When we need wisdom or we need to make a decision and need that wisdom, we just simply need to ask, what would you have me do now? No preconceived notions, not handling a situation maybe the way we handled it for the last 10 years, but every time. I just think of David in the story when he wanted to know whether to go up to battle or not, and he always went in and he acknowledged the Lord. He said, what would you have me do now? Like, do I go up? Do I stay? It's that simple. But you know, the problem is, if people's hearts aren't pure, they don't bother to do that. They automatically take the first thought that comes in their mind, and of course, it'll be coated with a spiritual coating from the devil. But the answer of the mind is always Satan's highest plan. I mean, the mind alone. I don't mean the mind of Christ. And so we need to be walking by revelation. And when we ask, we'll receive. God is not in the business of keeping us in the dark. He's not in the business of holding things back from us. He'll always speak and show us what to do in his perfect way and timing. All the things that you do, and you might add say, must be measured in relation to my kingdom being furthered. That's what we're in this earth for. To the degree that it serves to further the kingdom of God in the earth, it is to that degree and that degree alone that is profitable. In other words, it said in John 6:63 that the flesh profits nothing. Well, when our heart desire is to seek first the kingdom and further the kingdom, then we're going to be doing and saying the things that are profitable. That is important. It's coming down now. I mean, Christians need to have a kingdom consciousness. We can no longer accept anything that has its source or root in the world and the way of the world. There are some things out there that look like good ideas that the church just latched onto. But I'll tell you, we need to be ready in this hour to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal any aspect of church life that he wants to change or in our individual lives. Because I'm excited about finding out the fullness of God's plan in any aspect of ministry. And I certainly don't want to be taking any preconceived notions. And we will. And then we'll be found doing the things that are profitable. Tell my children to seek my face and to seek the thoughts and intentions of my heart concerning all those things which cross their path. And then they shall no longer live in the fear of the counterfeit or in fear of the counterfeit, but in the joy of the knowledge of their Lord. And, you know, I remember when I got this word, and there was quite a bit of stuff going on. I mean, and there still is now, of course, but it's just we're further removed from it. But then it just seemed like, you know, everything, every time God moved, immediately the counterfeit was there. And there were a lot of people that I would run into at times that had a fear of being deceived. Well, if you have a fear of being deceived, guess what? You're going to be deceived. The very fear that you have will come upon you. But when you exercise faith in the Holy Spirit, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, faith in the Word of God, then he will protect you. I mean, I'm not going to go into this now, but if I could tell you my testimony between the time I truly gave my heart wholly to God in the summer of 1980, and how he protected me and got me through, I didn't know which end, I didn't hardly know how to hold the Bible. And I mean, the fact was that he just kept me away, and he would show me the counterfeits, even though I didn't understand, I didn't have the word. He is well able to keep you on the path of righteousness. Your job is to acknowledge him in all your ways, in all things. Nothing can hinder one from carrying out the will of God save their own unbelief. That's an amazing revelation to have. It doesn't matter about the devil himself, every demon in hell, any person who crosses your path, nothing will keep you out of the fullness of God's destiny for your life except you. Period. Oh, yeah, I mean, the devil's going to try all those things, but when you make the decision to fulfill God's will in your life and to love him from the position of a heart wholly given, he will cause you to come into that. Too many times we look at the devil or look at other people, and yes, they are being used, but the fact is, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and trust in God with all our heart. I remember this. This is quite a story. I got myself in a position, and you know, people in those early days were saying, well, who are you accountable to? That's a big one in Canada. And that spirit still exists. Who are you accountable to? You know, you got people who are accountable to accountable to accountable to accountable. It's craziness. All men, all flesh and blood, all the organization of man. So, you know, I mean, I didn't have it in my heart to be apart from the church or anything, but God had separated me unto himself. So I remember that I was called in by these three pastors. There was three pastors in this one church. And they were nice. I mean, I liked them. I mean, they were kind of in the Spirit and out of the Spirit and from week to week. But nonetheless, God was using them, and there were some great things happening. But anyway, once this tide turned, God had me step completely out in faith, and then the devil tried to come in. So I got called in, and I can still picture them sitting there. And you know, when you get called in like that, it is not going to be a pleasant experience. They're not there to have fellowship with you. And they're there either to get you in agreement with them or to take you down, but that's the only two options. Well, I certainly wasn't going to agree with that. So anyway, the one pastor, he asked me, he said, well, very nice smile, you know, the whole thing. He said, well, who are you accountable to? And my mind went blank. My heart went blank. And I mean, it seemed like it was about 2 minutes. And I have nothing. I can't speak. In those days, that was fairly scary. And all of a sudden, a revelation came. And these are the words that came out of my mouth. He said, the Holy Spirit said through me, just came out of my mouth. I was like a spectator. He said, who was Moses accountable to when he came down the mountain from God and saw the people building the golden calf? Was he responsible to the people who were building the gold, or accountable to the people who were building the golden calf, or the God that from whose presence he just came? That came out of my mouth. I mean, I didn't even have a thought. Well, I mean, you talk about silence on the other end, and that was God. But anyway, getting back to this, here's a word that he gave me right after that time. Perhaps those who rail against you for being separated unto me in perfect fellowship. And believe me, there will be persecution come in some form or distraction, whatever, from the devil, when you really truly seek to fellowship with God in the inner chamber, because that's, as I said earlier, he has to keep the Christian out of there. That is the source of all empowerment, divine empowerment. That will be seen clearly in these days. People will see great, mighty miracles, and they're going to say, how did you do that? And then we'll be able to tell them that we know the God that was behind it, and through the fellowship with him, it was his power able to flow. So he said, perhaps those who rail against you for being separated unto me in perfect fellowship think in their perversity that Moses should have been down helping the children of Israel build the golden calf instead of fellowshipping with me in preparation for the carrying out of my holy purposes. And he was talking about the glorious church. The very thing or things that my children believe might be a hindrance or a bondage to them as they seek only to fulfill my will is the catalyst which shall propel them to the highest place of ascension. Now that may seem complicated, but I remember I could take you to the spot where God gave me that word. And there was something in my life that I believed that God was having me believe for, and I had it in my heart that I thought this very thing I was believing for was actually a hindrance, but that was just kind of some laziness on my part, and maybe some, I really didn't want to, you know, be in fellowship with that person type of thing. And he was saying to me, no, you believing for this and you standing for this is a catalyst to raising you up into the fullness of all I've called you to. Well, I got that revelation, and immediately I just dropped any of my own hand on that. And sure enough, it came to pass. And so as he was teaching me in those days, what he taught me was you just can't take any preconceived notions. I mean, we should discern everything that comes in. But, you know, sometimes God will put something in our life or have us believe for something that really doesn't quite thrill us. But in reality, if we have a revelation of God's will and we're walking in faith and obedience, it is the best. Is the best for us, and it may be the very catalyst that will just catapult us up into a place higher than we've ever been before with the Lord. So that's important. I mean, the devil has all these tricks to try and get us to think this and think that, and if we listen to him, then we're exercising faith, but it's in a lie and allows darkness to come in and strengthen a belief in that lie. But if we continually exercise faith in a revelation that God has given us, then that will be ever expanding. And it will enlarge our heart, and it will cause us to, again, have that deep assurance in our heart. That is the most valuable thing. I mean, it's from that deep assurance, divine assurance of being in God's will that produces a continual flow of peace and joy, which is the strength that we need, and so on. These are very important things in this last hour. People who are not walking in the power of God are going to be pulled off the path and, again, sucked into that vortex of darkness. It's a dangerous place. To the degree that one desires to be left alone in their sin, it is to that degree that they are unprepared to be apostolic and prophetic vessels of my word and light. Why? Because the light of God can't flow through us. And when there's ground or sin maintained for that, I remember a vision he gave me, and I saw this, it was a gleaming, it was like stainless steel, and it was like a pipe. And in the pipe, I could see through the pipe, and I could see sediment, like clumps of sediment in the pipe. Well, you know what happens with that. Water will stop flowing eventually if too much sediment is there. And God showed me that vision. Then I realized the pipe just had to be 6 feet long. I knew it was me. I remember that because then immediately he began to speak to me about how... Then he gave me another vision of that same pipe, which was me, and then I could see, I could still picture it, I could still see it, the glory of God entering in one end and flowing out the other end unimpeded. And that's exactly what he's aiming to do in each one of our lives in this last hour. And I could still see that glory. It's the same glory that he showed me in the glorious church vision up in the sky, that glob of, it looks like, I've never seen radioactive material other than maybe in a movie, but it's like that glowing white, it's brilliant, there's nothing in the natural that compares to it. And that is the glory of God, the very presence of God himself flowing through us. So we need to be those pure vessels in order to fulfill the apostolic and prophetic mandate that God has given the church. After all, the apostolic mandate is Christ all in all. And the prophetic word going forth is an accurate and direct word. I'm tired of tainted prophecy. We can't have that anymore. I don't care if there's only four words in the thing or a sentence. It is going to lead people into darkness. Now, maybe God can show some people, and they can take that and go with it, the good part. But I'll tell you, a lot of people will take the one negative part and just run with it because it's a spiritual thing. And if a heart's not right towards God, then they're attracted to darkness. And if a heart is right with God, they're attracted to light and will easily see the darkness. This is a good word. Love confuses the kingdom of darkness. You know, when you step out in love and you walk in love, you are causing things to happen in Satan's plans and so on that we don't even see sometimes. Oh, ultimately we will. But I mean, no wonder Paul wrote about, you know, those who labor in love. It's never in vain. It's never futile. I don't care what it feels like or doesn't feel like. It's never in vain. Why? Because every act of faith and love and obedience and walking in revelation and the anointing, the Holy Spirit, goes forth. God's work is being done, and it confuses the kingdom of darkness. Satan cannot understand love. He has no comprehension of it. There's no truth in him. So how could he possibly understand love? So when we love our enemies and when we obey God at all costs to ourselves, we are doing harm to the kingdom of darkness. Don't ever think that what you do is in vain because in obedience to God, because it's not. And in this last hour, we're going to see an exponential increase in the damage. Why? Because there's going to be people who are walking at love at all costs themselves. And God's going to use that to powerfully disrupt the devil's schemes. Doctrines of darkness are like safety valves for all those who desire to hold part back. That's where you run into problem with false doctrine. People just haven't given their heart wholly to God. And whether they're promoting that doctrine to themselves or whether they're holding to it by listening to someone else, it's always because they've held part back on God. But here's how God looks on doctrines of darkness. I look upon them as deliberate perversions of my word, held solely for the purpose that one might be justified in their own thinking and in their own way rather than my way. See, that's what it's coming down to. Dangerous thing. I mean, it's a simple thing. You know, Paul wrote that we were bought with a great price. We'll spend eternity finding out just how great that price was, in a good way, of course, that we might no longer live for ourselves. There's the basic revelation of the cross right there. Absolute self-denial unto death, death of the self-life. Faith is in no hurry because what faith obtains is eternal. So again, when we're walking in faith, we're walking in love, we're walking in obedience, we may not see immediate fruit to that. Although there is immediate fruit in our own lives, because when you walk in faith and obedience and love, you are going to experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit continually in your own life. And I don't care if the whole world's against you, you're going to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. So faith is in no hurry because what faith obtains is eternal. God has raised up in this final generation a remnant that want to see maximum results. They want to bear maximum fruit for the kingdom. They don't want to come up short. They want to build what God wants built. They want him to be unlimited in what he wants to do. And that the church has to fulfill that mandate. It has to be. We're not going to get the job partially done and get caught up out of here. No, we're going to get it done perfectly and be caught up out of here. So we need to realize that what faith obtains is eternal. There's a lot to that. But believe me, we got to have a lot more time to be spending in eternity than we do between now and the catching away of the church. God's judgment is not on people, but on sin. For he loves the people, but he hates sin and rebellion. I mean, it's God's will that not one soul should perish. That's his will. And so we need, again, to realize that it's just a matter of alignment in these days. You know, people who have a rebellious heart are going to align themselves with the rebellious and with rebellious thinking, things that are at enmity with the will of God. And that's what's going to be judged, alignment, because you're either aligned with Jesus Christ or you're aligned with Satan. That's what it comes down to. Where faith is bold, fear is fearful. Now, we're going to see that in this last hour. We know that the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, and you know, you have to be righteously motivated to walk in faith. Otherwise, your faith is misplaced. And we're going to see in this last hour some serious boldness on the behalf of those who are faithful to God. And when that faithfulness or that boldness goes forth, it's going to be cause those in fear to be fearful. And it's going to be a good thing because people will get free from that. Selfishness always fails. Love never fails. It's clear enough. The mistrust of God is the essence of foolishness. You might say all foolishness. A single eye shall give the needed light. How many times that word has come into focus for me over the years? You know, you get into a place where the devil's trying to do this or that or whatever, and it just seems like darkness and confusion are all around, hopefully not within, but all around, and then that word would come up. A single eye will produce the needed light. Get back into focus. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus. Get your eyes fixed on the Word of God. Get your eyes fixed on that which God has revealed to you, and then the needed light will come. And that light always causes one to rise above the darkness. I mean, the days have passed where we should be content to spend any amount of time in darkness. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be times where it looks like everything's dark, but if our hearts walk in faith, we'll be fine because the light is still within. But I mean, I'm talking about a darkness that is allowed to touch the heart. We don't want that because when darkness gets to the heart, it's going to influence a person off the will of God or apart from the will of God. It's going to cause the revelation that maybe they've even held to for years. It's going to cause it to dim within them. And that's what the devil's, it's his last chance. And he's not going to win, we know that. But I'll tell you, he will pick as many people off as he can in the meantime. We don't want that. The number one rule to exercising an absolute faith is that the physical never takes predominance over the spiritual. In other words, we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not moved by what we see or hear or feel or think, but by the revealed knowledge of God that's burning in our heart. See, we need to be a people that come to the place where the Word of God is burning in our heart. The revelation of God is burning in our heart. And it doesn't matter how much darkness comes, there's nothing that can put out the eternal flame of God's love and God's presence in our heart. Nothing. But we need to keep that flame burning brightly. In this last hour, you know, as God establishes divine connections, and when I say divine connections, I don't throw that around lightly. I'm talking about people who are wholly given to God, and they stay the course no matter what. When God begins to establish them, they're going to come with a revelation burning in their hearts. They're not going to come looking for acceptance. They're going to come boldly proclaiming what God has told them, and it will register with the hearts of the people who God has already prepared to receive them, and they'll be linked together eternally. That's the way it works. There's the time for all the I don't have a word for it, but the time for all the fooling around is over. People need to be wholly committed to God and begin to operate in that divine boldness that comes from being righteously motivated at all times. So we need to keep our eyes and never let the physical take predominance over the spiritual. Therefore, from this, you can see clearly that to walk in love or faith, one must keep their eyes fixed on the things which are not seen in the physical realm, but rather on the things which are seen in the spirit. Things not seen with the eyes, but with the heart. Now, that's very important. And I'm going to close with this one now. We need to be a people who walk by faith. And we need to be a people who, if we have to, take a very strong stand against allowing ourselves to see the things out there. When you truly walk in faith, God will open your eyes to see things that are going on, and you'll have the proper discernment. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this message, and we thank you for that we're in the third day. And we thank you, Father, that you are training us perfectly, training our hands for war, training our hands to do great damage to Satan and his schemes. And we thank you, Father, most of all, that you are creating in us a heart that seeks your face above all else in all things. So we praise you, Father, now and for the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.